The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Hope you're going to have a good show today or a good listen. So if you want to give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. And I just want to let you guys know that we're working on the homepage of the CARM site. And if you want to check out the new navigation, you can. It's not finished yet, but they're working on it even right now. So if any of you are out checking that out, that's why. That's why it's still working in that direction. And we're, you know, I'm kind of excited about it. It's a slow process. The site is a huge site. And we've been doing some research on all kinds of stuff with it. In fact, get this. If you were to go, you know, I'm just now saying this. If you were to go to say, Google and type in, what is the Trinity? It turns out that CARM shows up around the third page. If you go to Bing and Yahoo and DuckDuckGo and check it out, it's like number one or two on the first page. We suspect that Google is penalizing Christian Science, maybe CARM, because I say some non-politically correct stuff like homosexuality is sinful and, you know, stuff like that. So we don't know. We don't know. Why would the other sites all give a better reading and yet that one doesn't? And it's just something we discovered today. Anyway, if you want to give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. And let's 4 open lines. We're going to Israel next year. If you are interested in checking it out, I'd love it if you were to go. All you got to do is go to CARM Israel, C-A-R-M, Israel today. CARM, I'm reading something. CARMIsrael.com, and you can check it out and you can see what's going on. It's going to be a great trip. Let me tell you something. That when I went before, and it just really, it's almost like it completes the Bible, going there and being there, you know, walking the same road that Jesus walked, being in the same garden he was in, you know, seeing Bethlehem, seeing the well, going to the very well that Jesus was at in John 4, things like that. We even went and saw the very room that was in the Gospels where they let the man down, the paralytic, through the roof. And Jesus was in that room. I mean, it's a sight, and it has plexiglass over it. And it's one of the few places they say, yeah, this is it. And they're like 98% sure, kind of a thing. And you look down into the room, and you know Jesus was in there, in that room. It's awesome when you see stuff like that. And, of course, we're on the Sea of Galilee, and I tried to walk on the water on the Sea of Galilee. I gave it a shot, and I only ventured out about 12 inches from the shore, put my foot in the water. Okay, here goes. It didn't work for me. And so, yeah, hey, you know, you got to try. And I actually brought back some of the stones from Israel. This is very small. It's just a few. These are some of the stones that did not cry out. And if you know what the Bible says about that, it'd be interesting. So anyway, a lot of fun. CARMIsrael.com if you want to check it out. This week is the last week for $100 discount if you want to sign up. So you got to do that. Okay, let's get to, let's see, Alberto from Georgia. Welcome. You're on the air, Alberto. You there?
Good evening, Matt Slick.
Mm-hmm. Good evening.
Yeah. My question is, you know, the high priest, you know, they go every once a year.
Yeah.
And to atone for the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
And they had to be completely right before God, you know, without no stain, yeah. no sin, basically almost.
Yeah.
And this entire long rope with a veil.
Yes, so I know about
God
that.
God struck them dead. God will pull them out. The people will pull them out. Drag them out of the Holy of Holies. Now, how come when Antiphonus Epiphany went to the Holy of Holies, he went right through the courtyard, went right into the temple, then to the Holy of Holies, and desecrated the Holy of Holies with the pig blood? Why that God didn't kill him instantly before he even reached that far into the Holy of Holies? He wasn't even holy right before God at all. He was He was even prepared at all the whole
okay,
year.
Okay, hold on. Wait, Alberto. Do you have a question? Just
that's my question. How could God didn't kill him? Why would God didn't kill that son of the devil? Yet he killed a high priest.
Okay, wait a second.
For a whole year,
Alberto, you got to hold on. I don't understand your question. So why didn't God kill?
Why did God didn't kill Antipas Epiphanes when he slaughtered a pig?
Antiochus. Okay. When he did that, I don't know. Probably because the Spirit of God had left already. And so because of Israel's failure and the desecration, what was already going on, and God's presence was probably already gone out of that place. Okay? That's probably what it was. All right?
So God's Spirit left the nation of Israel because they were being rebellious and all that?
No, I didn't say he left the nation of Israel. I said he left the Holy of Holies. That would be the explanation.
Oh, the Holy of Holies.
Right, because Israel was blowing it, and they were not doing what was needed to be done. There was sin in Israel, and so when Antiochus came in and did what he did, they were destroying the people of Israel, and God sends people in to destroy Israel when Israel is bad. When Israel rejects God, goes into idolatry and various things, he sends people in to clean their clock. So that would be consistent to say that God was not occupying that place of holiness right there. Okay?
Okay. So if you're updated today, the same thing happened to America. With all the sins they're committing, abortion, homosexuality, mm-hmm. false teachings, false doctrines, the churches are weak, the preachers are teaching heresy, and you think the Spirit of God is going to leave America and they're going to allow these foreigners overthrow America?
I would say that God is very displeased with America. I'm actually doing research on the chronology of America in the past 60 or so, 70, 80 years, on how they got rid of God, the movement towards secularism and humanism, and the rise of mayhem and crime and drugs and pornography as they've gotten rid of God. And then the problems that are rampant in America right now. And then they blame conservatives and the hypocrisy and the lies. So our country can't survive with this. It cannot. No country ever has survived it. So why hasn't God destroyed America? He's in the process of letting it destroy itself, that's for sure. Because we've turned our back on God as a whole. So there are Christians within the nation who are rising up and praying for this country, and so God is holding back his more severe judgment. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So it was like basically the same way what they did with the Jews when the captivity mm-hmm. of Babylonian, mm-hmm. they took them away. It's going to have America's going to happen. Because mm-hmm. I'm allowed these foreigners to take over America, he's taking away captives.
Yeah, it's, God is patient, okay? He's very patient. And so God said to Israel, if my people will repent. He's talking about, covenant Israel. And God is very patient. He doesn't want us to suffer. But if we're going to turn our backs on him, and if the Christian church becomes weak and anemic and starts entertaining the doctrines of demons, as it is in so many areas, with so many false teachers on TV and in the pulpit, then he's going to remove more and more of his protective work against the evil, and we're going to reap the whirlwind. So this is why it's important for Christians to be united in the essentials of the Christian faith and to stand forth and to pray for revival and also stand up and resist the evil that is approaching, because we know that this is happening. In fact, I'm just kind of rambling a little bit, but I'm working on another article dealing with the similarities between cult mentality and cult practices and the secularist control efforts that are going on. And I've got this a table I'm working on and showing the similarities, and they're definitely there. And so we have to understand that the people in power in my opinion, have got some mental problems. In fact, it was it Tucker Carlson a couple nights ago said that, what was the statistic? I think my wife took a copy of it, that something like 34% of people on the left or the seculars, I forgot what it was, have been diagnosed with mental problems. And it's not to say every one of them is bad, and if you're on the left, you've got mental problems, but there's a high percentage, and it makes sense because of the irrationality, the illogic, the agendizing that's going on. So I see it in cult behavior and cultists, and I've seen it for decades. So I recognize the same thing in the political regime with people who can't think their way out of a wet paper bag and care nothing about truth, but only about agenda. That's part of what it means to have what's called snapping. Snapping is a psychological phenomenon that happens inside of cults, where someone might pray about the Book of Mormon, pray about the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, pray about whatever it is in the Roman Catholic Church, and then they snap. They become emotionally committed to that group or that theology or that person or that whatever it is. And once they've snapped, it's called snapping, it's very hard to get them out because they just give themselves over to it. Well, the same kind of thing happens in the secular realm. And it happens in usually in the political realm. It happens with sports teams. People, it's a good place to recognize that. Is I've run tests on this in seminars where I've said, I'm going to show you guys something, and I'll say, you know, wherever city I'm in, I'll say, what's your best, baseball team or football team? Because I don't follow any sports, and they'll tell me, and I'll say, oh, that team, and I'll start insulting that team. And I can watch the people bristle in the chairs. And I said, what I did on purpose, because I want you to feel what it was like to emotionally react against something you're committed to. It's not an issue of rationality. It's an issue of emotionality. And I said, now watch this. Now I'm going to start saying the opposite. I'm going to say how great they are, the best team. And I started saying all this stuff. And I say, now what do you think? Well, not really. And people have emotional commitments. And so they, what they'll do is they will then gather teachers to themselves to tickle their ears. This happens in churches and it happens in the secular realm. So the leftist wackos will only want to watch far leftist wacko news information that gives them what they want to hear. And the same thing can happen on the far right. So where they have wackos on the far right doing the same thing. So the mentality of the cults and psychological manipulation, which is happening in the secular realm through mask wearing, I believe it's just a mask thing. It's a submission marker for the secularists. How much can we keep them under submission, under our thumb? We'll keep telling them they got to wear the masks, even though they've been vaccinated, even though they're immune, even though fewer people are sick from COVID than there are from other flus that are out around right now. We won't tell them that. We're going to keep them under our thumb. This is the kind of thing that's going on. And it just reminds me so much of cult stuff. Anyway, I'm just rambling. But okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. All right, that was Alberto. Let's get to Julie right after the break. Hey, Julie, please hang on. And we will be right back after these messages, folks. One open line, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Julie from North Carolina. Julie, welcome. You're on.
Thanks, Matt. Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And second of all, I really want to thank you for what you do. I've been perplexed with the last three sessions that I've listened to of your broadcast about the whole Roman Catholic Church. And I told you screener that, I know my question is kind of weird, but I grew up kind of dysfunctional Catholic, just kind of doing it because everybody did it, Mm-hmm. So about 8 years ago, I was born again, saved Christian. And praise my God. Mother and her husband are still very, very devout Catholics.
Okay.
So I'm struggling with this because I'm going through a very difficult season in my life. Mm-hmm. But it's a blessing because I'm becoming closer and closer to God and my walk with Good. Jesus through it all. Mm-hmm. And so as you can imagine, what's happening is my mom is seeing that transition of me getting closer.
Yeah.
So she and my stepfather, so to speak, have been having these conversations about Julie's getting closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She's a better Christian than I am. Okay. And my mother told me that her husband said she is, but she's just in the wrong church.
Oh, okay.
And so that's been gnawing at me. Like, it's been really kind of gnawing at me because I've been diving into your page on Carm. And I'm just, the things that I'm learning are just, I'm like, wow. And I don't know even if I should approach it or even if I should have, I don't want to cause conflict. I'm just put it that way.
Okay, so. What's your question, then?
My question is it biblical to have that conversation with her, or is it, should I just, for the sake of not causing waves, just...
Let me ask you, which is more important?
What's
more important?
Yeah.
Preaching the true gospel to somebody, or having them be comfortable?
Well, honestly, for me, it's preaching the true gospel.
Well, it's not just for you, it's everybody. The gospel is the most important thing. You don't want your parents to be comfortable on their way to hell. That's why we teach the truth against Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Roman Catholicism. We speak the truth about them. So, you know, that doesn't mean we just go in, you know, with a 12-gauge doctrinal shotgun and blast them out. What you want to do is be patient and kind as much as possible. And so what I'd recommend you do is ask your mom, you know, when it becomes appropriate, you say, well, do you pray to Jesus? Don't talk about Mary because, you know, they're idolatrous when it comes to Mary. Do you pray to Jesus?
Right.
Yes. Is he God in flesh? Well, yes. Can he forgive you of all of your sins? Well, yeah. Well, then if you ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins, will he forgive you of all of your sins? And this is when you're going to find Catholics start saying, well, the Catholic Church says, you got to go to the priest. The Catholic Church says, and just wait till they're done talking and then ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pray to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, will he forgive you? Well, you see, you got to go through penance. You got to go through, you wait till they're done talking and you ask the same question again. The question needs to be repeated. It needs to be in their head. They need to realize the Catholic Church is not the true church. The Catholic Church is not the true means of salvation. It's just a gigantic religious false system. And that they need to come to Christ. And the Catholic Church is actually standing in the way of that. And the evidence of this is when you ask this very simple question. When Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28. And he says, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. John 14:14. And he forgives sins, Luke 5:20. So he does this, and you can pray to him, 1 Corinthians 1:2. And that he forgives, he calls, he does all this stuff. And the fact that they will turn to their church, what their church says, is proof that the church is standing in the way between them and Christ. Because what any church, any false religious system will do when you point them to Jesus is they'll say, well, the church says, or our prophet says, or our prophetess says, or our priest says, or whatever. And instead of going straight to Christ, like Jesus said, come to me. He just says, come to me. Doesn't say go to a priest. Doesn't say go to a church. Doesn't say go to all these things for rituals. Doesn't say any of these. He says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. So Satan, what he will do is use any group and use the name of Jesus as well as other Christian-type things in the Bible and use them and twist them just enough to get something in between God and that person so that they're not going straight to Christ, the real Christ. They're going through a mediator to get to Christ, and that is the church, the prophet, the prophetess, the priest, the sacraments, and this is what's going on. So it's the proof that they are brainwashed and in a false system when they can't go straight to Jesus, just as Jesus said, and be forgiven of their sins. And so anyway, back to the point. Just ask her, can you pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins? Just like they did in the Bible. Well, he's prayed to, 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Mm-hmm. They call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. That phrase, call upon the name of the Lord, in the Old Testament is prayer. Zechariah 13, 9, Psalm 116, 4. And so it's prayer, and it's applied to Jesus. And then Stephen prays to Jesus in Acts 7, 55 through 60. I can go through all of it. At any rate, that's the whole point. And just slowly work that
it
way.
Is.
And tell her, you know what? You say, I've done that. I've prayed to Jesus, not through, to Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. And he said in Matthew 7, he says, if you ask him, he'll give it to you. He's not going to give you something else. But I warn people, count the cost. Because if you're in a cult, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, or a false religion like Catholicism, and you go to Christ, he's going to require that you follow him, not a religion. And it can cost you a great deal. But it's what salvation is.
All right. That's very good advice. Thank you. It's going to be two against one, and it's going to be very difficult.
Oh, no. It's going to be you and Jesus. You and Jesus against
him. I agree. No, okay. I agree. Yes, you're so right. You are so right. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're right.
You don't have to give 1,000 answers, okay? just point them to Christ and say, hey, I've gone to Jesus and asked him to forgive me. And ask him, was that wrong for me to do? What am I going to do? Okay.
Yeah.
And ask him, have you done the same thing?
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Julius, let us know what happens, okay? Okay.
I definitely will. Thank you. I'm going to be, I used your cut and paste section on your website. It's just fantastic, and I've just learned so much. So I just want to thank you again for all you do, and I love listening to you, so thank you.
Oh, wow. Call my wife up and tell her how great I am and that she needs to listen to me, okay?
So okay. That,
you need to do that because she's not convinced. Thanks. All right? I love it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Julie. Okay, we'll see you.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Hey, where was that cutie that was just there on Charlie, did you put that up there on the cutie? That was a cute little girl. Put a picture up there. Just a little cutie girl, you know. Family pictures and stuff like that. All right, let's get to Kelly from Los Angeles. Kelly, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. Okay, hey. So, Matt, let me take you off speaker because you need to go.
Okay.
Okay, so I know that women are not supposed to teach men. I understand that part. My question is...
Hold on. We got a break. I'm so sorry. Hold on. We'll be right back after these messages. Okay, we'll get to Kelly from L.A. in a little bit, folks. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Just cracking up from stuff in the meantime. Okay, let's get back to Kelly from Los Angeles. Kelly, welcome. You're back on the air.
I'm back.
Okay.
So, Matt, so I understand that women aren't supposed to have that authority over men and teach them in the leadership role in the church. My question is, can men read like Christian counseling books written by women?
Sure. I don't see
Christian
why not.
Women. Oh, they can.
Yeah, I don't see why not. A lot of women have a lot of great wisdom and insight, and no problem at all. I don't see any reason.
And I'm so glad I called.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I heard an echo. You was going to say as long as they're not what, man? Like what, try to pastor over them?
Right, as long as they're not elders, pastors, you know, in the church, that's the context. But if a woman wants to write a book and, you know, she has some good things to say, I wouldn't have any problem, reading it, you know, as long as she's not trying to play the pastor and getting around it and say, here's what God says, this is what y'all need to do, and now we got a problem, and then she's moving, you know, out of the area she wouldn't be in, but, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that confirmation, Matt. God bless.
Okay, well, God bless, okay.
All right.
Well, that was Kelly. You know, the producer wrote in the stack that there was a caller. It might have been a troll, but it was someone advertising for a fortune teller site. And it just occurred to me, well, you'd think they would know that we were a Christian ministry. radio show. Why would they call? Anyway, just to, you know, a puzzle. Let's get to Yvonne from Richmond, Virginia, which we won't. Let's get to Jacob from Wisconsin. Hey, Jacob, welcome. You're on the air.
My question is how Isaiah 65, 17 to 25 is fulfilled in all millennials.
Isaiah what?
65, verse 17 to 25.
Wow, that's a lot to have to read. I'll create a new heavens, new earth, former things, glad, rejoice. Behold, I create new heavens, new earth, and former things will not be remembered. No longer be an infinite list, but a few days. Oh man, a few days. Behold, I'll see. Okay. Oh yeah. A lot of premillennialists like this, better than the amillennialists. The amillennialists would say that it's more figurative because of infants living, for example, for hundreds of years. You know, that doesn't make any sense. And so they think that what's going on here is a real hyperbole, an exaggeration. And so the new heavens and new earth are certainly going to be made from both perspectives, premill and amill. And they'll also rejoice in Jerusalem. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. There will no longer be heard weeping and crying, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build another inhabit. Chosen. So yeah, that's just, it's a lot of people think that it's not to be taken literal. And some, because I think it's figurative, and just talking about the blessing that's going to be coming as things like the lion laying down with the lamb. Is it really going to happen? Well, maybe, and it could happen in the new heavens and new earth. So I think kind of suits better for pre-mill than amill, but the amill don't have a problem with it. Okay.
So is it said that Amo would say that it's for the eternal state?
Well, both sides will look at some things literally and other things figuratively. The premillennialists will come to Isaiah 65, New Heavens and New Earth, and say it's literal, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. If it's literal, one of the main questions I ask out of this, it will no longer be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days, for the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach age of 100 will be thought accursed. And so if it's during the millennium, why would someone be saying, if Christ's ruling, that you're cursed if you die at 100 years old? It's like, what's going on? And so there are definitely figurative things going on, and how to tackle this is a tough one. It's tough. So, infants only, live as infants just for a year or two. I mean, not even, if that even long, not hundreds of years. It doesn't make sense. So, it's a tough one to get to and ask. It says the dust will be the serpent's food. So there's a lot of figurative use in there. So what does it really mean? I'm not exactly sure. Okay.
So they would just say that it's symbolic of heaven?
Well, it could be, because there is going to be a new heavens and new earth, and there's going to be a place of heaven and a place of the new heavens and new earth. And so both sides will say this is something on earth that's going to occur, and I don't have any problem with that. So the amillennialists could very well say, and I've really not dug into this on this issue. That's not one of my areas of expertise of Isaiah 65. I use other things in the support of amillennialism, but the issue here is that it could be for both views, because there's going to be a new earth. But even then, how is it that babies are going to live to be that old, as babies, as infants? It just doesn't make sense. So that's why I say it's a lot of figurative language, and we ought to look at it as figurative, of utopia kind of work. A utopia kind of situation and condition. Okay? That's how I look at it. That's how I've heard all millists look at it, too. Okay?
So it's pretty much just heaven.
Well, not necessarily. Because there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And this might be the condition on the new earth. I can't tell you which one it is. If it's a very figurative form of representing heaven or a figurative form of representing the new earth. Either way, from both perspectives, if they want to say it's the millennial reign, then they have the problem of saying that babies live to be, infants or 100 years old type thing. It's a problem. Or that they'll be cursed if they die young. Who's going to be saying they're cursed? So there are just difficulties within the text to be able to say exactly what it is. But it works within both views, vol-mill versus pre-mill, even in some post-mill views, that it could be talking about the new earth. And it could, I think it also could be understood to represent heaven as well.
So what does the center represent for heaven?
The what?
It talks about a center.
What verse?
And about death also, right?
Yeah, what verse? Because I need to look at the verse and know exactly what it is. It's a big chapter, and so without knowing exactly, I really can't comment too easily.
I think it says that the sinner shall die cursed.
No, those who die, it said a youth will die at an age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. So youth will die at the age of, for the youth will die at the age of 100. And the one who does not reach one age of 100 will be thought accursed. So how can a youth be 100 years old? Or does it mean that the youth are going to live to be 100 years old? And then if they don't live to be 100, they're cursed. So what's going on there?
I'm looking at 20.
Yeah, verse 20. Yep.
Where it talks about
Yeah, no longer will be an infant who lives a few days. Well, normally infants don't, not all infants die in infancy. So why would we say no longer will it be that an infant who lives but a few days? So they're saying there won't be any more death? But if that's the case, why is it say that they die at 100 that there is death? See, when you really start looking at this, there's just a lot of questions that come up, which is why I'm saying we don't have a good answer for it. I don't have a good answer for what it is. And no matter what position you take, there are difficult questions to answer. Okay?
Is what I had heard is that it's just one that post-millennial people like.
Post-millennialists would like that, yeah. Because they say that through the preaching of the gospel, the world will be converted to the gospel, and then to Christianity, that is, and then that will usher in the kingdom of Christ, and the return of Christ, which I think is not supported in Scripture. That's my view. But, people disagree, that's fine. It's a debatable issue. All right? Okay.
I had one other question.
Real fast?
So, like post-millennials talk about the victory of the gospel and about the Great Commission being fulfilled and the nations being discipled. Mm-hmm. So, in amillennialism, is it correct that basically the Great Commission is a failure?
No. We would not say it's a failure. The gospel is always powerful. But the Bible tells us things are going to get worse and it's going to go bad. That's what it says. It doesn't say it's going to get better. Period. Okay, call back if you want. We'll talk tomorrow about it. Tomorrow we got some other calls waiting. We're on a break, okay? Thanks, Jake. Hey, folks, we have the two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, just real fast, just want to remind you that it's the last week. If you want $100 off on the Israel trip we're going on next year, check it out, carmisrael.com, C-A-R-M, Israel, one word, .com. Check it out. Let's get to Gordon from Utah. Gordon, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What do you got?
I spend an awful lot of time driving, and when I do, I love to listen to the Christian radio stations, and mm-hmm. I enjoy so much of what you say. Mm-hmm. The things that trouble me is why you would not consider people that are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints not to be Christian. It just kind of baffles my mind.
Okay. So you're married, right?
Correct.
Okay. If someone came up to you and said, there's a woman with your name, with your driver's license, with her driver's license, I mean, her name, her driver's license, her car, her everything, and said, this is your wife, and you looked and went, that's not my wife. And they said, no, everything fits. You'd know something was amiss because you'd be fake. In the gospel, in the Bible, there's only one God in all existence, in all place, in all time. That's the real and true God. He's never been a man on another planet near a star called Kolob, as Mormonism teaches. Period. Mormonism does teach that, but the Bible teaches to the contrary. Therefore, they cannot be the same God. In Mormonism, Elohim is the name of God the Father.
Okay, that's really not what
yes,
the
it
Church
is.
Teaches. I know
yes, it
there's
is.
Writings along that line, but if you've ever
okay,
been
on.
To a meeting, it
hold
never
on.
Comes up. It's never taught.
Oh, yes, it is. Mormon Doctrine by Bruce McConkie, page 321. There's the Mother Goddess, Articles of Faith by James Talmage, page 443.
Let me ask you. He can write what he wants.
Let me test you. Let me
he
test
can write
you.
What he wants. It's not,
let me
it's
test
not
you.
A tenet of the Church.
Let me test you.
Go ahead.
Do you affirm or do you deny that the God you believe in, because you're a Mormon, was used to be a man in another world and became exalted to become a God? Do you believe that or affirm that? Affirm it or deny it?
I wouldn't deny it.
So you affirm it. Okay, so you affirm it.
No, I would say that is beyond my comprehension.
Okay, so you don't
and
deny.
It's best if I...
Hold on, hold on.
It's best if I focus.
Hold on.
Hold on.
You ask me questions. I'm trying to help you. Do you affirm or do you deny that there's a Mother Goddess?
There may
heavenly
very well
mother.
Be.
Okay, so there may very well be a Mother Goddess, and that your God used to be a man in another world. Okay? And you teach that you had the potential of becoming a God. Potential, right?
Well, that's kind of what the Bible says, isn't it?
No, never. Never says that. Ever, ever, ever.
Sons, power to become sons of God, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yeah, but doesn't mean we're going to become a God. Like him doesn't mean we are a God. Like him in redemption, like him in cleanliness and in holiness. The Mormon Church has simply
told you things.
How come you don't let me finish?
What about when?
How come? I try to tell you this, and you don't care. You don't care.
What about what I say?
You're a Mormon.
Can I point out what John said? What Christ said?
Sure, go ahead. Give me one.
High priest prayer.
Give me one.
Okay, that when he's praying for the apostles,
mm-hmm.
he's praying that they all may be one, as mm-hmm. we are. As thou art in me, and mm-hmm. I am in you.
Yes.
That we all may be one.
Good. What
doesn't
does that mean?
Imply?
What does it mean?
Doesn't that imply that there's a certain level of unity and camaraderie?
Yes.
In the life hereafter.
Yes, but not for Mormons.
Okay, so where do
because,
you stop that?
Because, Gordon, you believe in a false God. Your God
that's
is
not true.
Yes, it is. The God of the Bible has never been a man on another planet.
How do you know what happened?
Because God tells us
that in the Bible,
Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In fact,
okay.
God says, you are my witnesses, my servant whom I have chosen, in order that you may know and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, there will be none after me. He says in Isaiah 44:6, I'm the first, I'm the last, there is no God besides me. That's what he says. And there's lots of verses like this. In Mormonism,
yes.
God has a goddess wife, that's two gods. Jesus is another God, and the Holy Ghost is another God. That's four gods right there. You don't
now,
believe in the true God.
When there is so much belief and recognition that Christ was the Son of God. And where did they depart from that belief that Christ was the Son of God?
They didn't. Mormonism did. Mormonism was started by Joseph Smith.
No, we believe that Christ is the Son of God.
You mean the literal Son of God, where God the Father and his goddess wife had relations and produced a spirit offspring in the heavenlies that then became human, and Jesus is the firstborn in the pre-existence. Brigham Young, in Doctrine and Covenants, it's not Doctrine and Covenants, but in Journal of Discourses, Volume 13, page 95, said, everything he taught in the pulpit was as good as Scripture. He said that instead of letting any other man do it, God the Father came down and did it with Mary in order to get her pregnant. This is what Brigham Young taught.
There's an awful lot of conjecture on these things. Is that a tenet of the gospel? No, it's not.
Do you deny it?
Is that Christ? What we know is that Christ said that he was the Son of God, that when he was baptized, Father spoke from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. So that's the context that I think that Christ is the Son of God.
Okay. Here, let me show you something. The Jesus of the Bible is the true Jesus. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if the disciples and the people in the New Testament behave towards Jesus a certain way, I mean, in a good way, of course, then we should emulate that. We should do the same thing, right? Right?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Go ahead.
So if they pray to Jesus, is it okay for us to pray to Jesus? Is it okay for us to pray to Jesus?
Well, we pray to the Father through Jesus.
I said, if they pray to Jesus, is it okay for us to do the same thing?
That's not the pattern. I don't think that.
Okay, I'm asking you a question. You're not answering. If they pray to Jesus in the New Testament, is it okay for us to do that? That's my question. If I can show you in the New Testament where they did it, I can show you in the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 19:18. They did pray to Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God. So, the Book of Mormon, they pray to Jesus. In the Bible, they pray to Jesus. Can you do that?
I would certainly pray to Jesus saying, he's my Lord and my God. That's a prayer, then. Absolutely.
So, would you ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you ever done that?
Absolutely.
So you have prayed to Jesus. Mormons, because Mormons are not supposed to pray to Jesus. They're not supposed to pray to Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses don't pray to him either, because you only pray to God the Father. In fact, your prayers,
the pattern that we follow in the church is the pattern of the Lord's Prayer.
Okay, let me ask you.
And we do pray through Jesus, as the New Testament instructs us.
Would you be willing right now, because Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before God. Would you be willing right now, in all sincerity, and I'm not mocking this at all, would you be willing to pray right now to the person of Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins?
Absolutely.
Could you do that right now and ask Jesus to forgive you of everything, to reveal the truth of who he is to you? Would you be willing to do that right now?
He has.
Would you do it right now over the air?
Absolutely. May God bless us.
Would you do that? Would you pray to Jesus right now?
I'll do it right now.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Dear Father in heaven, as we bow our head before thee, we give thee thanks for the myriad blessings we receive at thy hand. And may we receive forgiveness of our sins through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God, and our King. In his name, amen.
So you didn't do it. You didn't pray to Jesus. I said, could you pray to Jesus? You won't do it.
I said, through Jesus Christ, I'm asking you,
to Jesus. We only have a few minutes left in the show, so I'm trying to be straight with you.
Okay.
Jesus is prayed to in the Bible. Even in the Book of Mormon, which I don't agree with, but the Book of Mormon they pray to Jesus. You can't pray to him because you don't believe who he truly is. The Jesus of the Bible is a true
absolutely
Jesus.
Do.
No, you don't, because the Jesus of the Bible is prayed to. There's a phrase in the Old Testament, to call upon the name of Jehovah. In the Old Testament, it means to pray. Psalm 116, go look it up after the show. They called upon the name of Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah, I beseech you, save my life. They're praying to Jehovah. And you know that in Mormonism,
yes,
that's supposed to be Jesus. Well, that phrase, call upon the name of Jehovah, was translated by the Jews into the Greek, call upon the name of the Lord, and applied to Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they can pray to Jesus. You can't pray to Jesus. This is proof you don't have the Christ of Scripture. And
is it a sin? Let me ask you this. Is it a sin for us to pray the way the Lord Jesus instructed us to pray?
No, it's not. You can pray to the Father.
In the Beatitudes.
You can pray to the Father.
That's
it's okay, but
well,
Jesus also said,
your problem.
Jesus also said, ask me anything in my name and I will do it, John 14:14. And the church calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. It's in the Bible. And when Stephen was being stoned in Acts 7:55 through 60, he had a vision of God the Father and Jesus, and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He didn't pray to the Father. He prayed to Jesus.
That's fine by me.
See, here's the problem. We've got 1 minute. Jesus reveals the Father, Matthew 11:27. He sends the Holy Spirit, John 14:26. If you don't have the right Jesus, you won't have the right Father. You won't have the right Spirit.
Well,
if you can't pray to Jesus,
I would defend myself by saying that the Jesus I believe was born of Mary in Bethlehem, we receive his words in the New Testament and died on the cross for us.
Nope. In Mormonism, the atonement occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat blood. There is so much about Mormonism you don't even know. I have the documentation.
An awful lot.
Look.
I've never heard anybody say it was only in the garden.
It was in the cross and the garden, which denies the sufficiency of the cross. I'm telling you, look, you don't even know your own Mormonism.
The sufferings were both. It was in the beatings. It was in the stripes that he received for our sake.
Gordon?
It was not just on
Gordon,
the cross.
It was all the
suffering.
Please call back tomorrow. People would love to hear us dialogue. But you need to understand, God is not an exalted man for another world who has a goddess wife. That's what Mormonism teaches. That's not Christianity. That's, call back tomorrow, can you?
I don't know anything about
I do.
That.
Go to my website. Check it out. We got to go. Hey, folks, sorry. I don't like hanging up on them. I want to talk more. Call back tomorrow, okay? Hey, folks, by God's grace, we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.